Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program, live and underway from our Big X studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you along with us for the hour, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, and of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We do this show each weekday at 11 a.m. And if you ever can't join us for the live program, don't forget you can check us out as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast, on SoundCloud, and really most any place that you may listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll find us there, and you can subscribe and listen for free. Glad to have you with us today. Of course, the big news came out yesterday during our show that I think has everyone excited and maybe feeling a little proud as a Hoosier, and that's that it very much looks like the NCAA tournament, the entire NCAA tournament, is going to be played in the state of Indiana, in Indianapolis, or at least that metropolitan area. I don't know what that means yet for fans and attendance. It's going to mean something for the economy in Indianapolis and our state, no matter if they're fans allowed or not, because you've got tons of hotel rooms and tons of catering and tons of food establishments that will be used, even if it's by no one else other than the teams, the coaches, the players themselves. But big news that also, I think, gives you hope there will be an NCAA tournament this year. And I think the common belief is that there will, after unprecedented history saw things like that get canceled a year ago. But now that these organizations have the opportunity to plan, have the opportunity to actually dig into things and get ahead of some of this craziness, you've got to believe that it will happen. But now that they've made specific plans for a controlled environment, or I should say they are making plans, it's not done yet. Indianapolis is not a done deal yet, but it sounds likely that that's going to happen. But now that that is going on, I think it gives us hope that, you know, no matter what happens in the regular season, as crazy as it may be, we will have a postseason in college hoops, a March Madness, which our state, our region in the country is, loves. And we show that by our TV ratings, obviously, each and every year. So big news on that. The NCAA also yesterday, after we went off the air, had a bit of a press conference, and so we got to learn more about what the championships, the different rounds being played in Indianapolis could look like. One thing is that the first four, 68 teams is still the plan. The first four isn't going to happen, two, three, 4 days after the selection show. I believe that there's testing and there's protocols that everyone will have to go through before you can enter this controlled environment. So there's going to be a little delay as far as getting the tournament started, but it sounds like they plan to do it in the same amount of time, the same dates, except for the first four, as far as each round where you play Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. Of course, Indianapolis was already scheduled to host the Final Four. I've got to believe, as far as facilities, everybody wants to know what facilities do you think will be used for this. There's been this great uproar, and it's been funny to watch on social media. You know, Indiana has the best high school basketball facilities in the country. So people are saying, hey, you could have the Seymour, first and second round, and you could have a first and second round at Richmond, and you could have one here, and it could become a great thing for our state. Well, that's not necessarily the case, because a high school floor is 84 feet long. A college floor is 94 feet long. And obviously you've got bleachers and a lot of things that most gyms are going to make it where you can't just temporarily extend the length of the floor. But cool idea. And I think yesterday on social media we saw people showcasing the gyms and all these pictures of crowded high school basketball gyms across our state that I think make us all proud to be Hoosiers. but probably just a dream. I don't think that there's any possibility. But where will they play? That is a legitimate question. And I think it sounds like this plan is still very much being worked on. It doesn't sound like they've got all the details put together and everything figured out that this is where it's going to be, this is how many courts we need. It sounds like it's a work in process, but they know in Indianapolis, A, there are enough courts, B, they are quality courts, and C, they have the contacts and are local there with the NCAA office in Indianapolis to make it all happen if they get to work on it ASAP. But I think a lot of it has to do with ultimately, will there be fans? And I know that they're going to have to make a determination on fans at some point because you can't get all the way up to the tournament and say, okay, we're going to allow fans or we're not. But if they are going to allow fans, they will need places that have reasonable seating because obviously even the smallest of crowds, you need some space. You can't jam them in like a travel basketball tournament. But if they were going at it from a no fans perspective and they said that no decision on fans is going to be made yet, that they'll follow the local guidelines at that time. But if you weren't going to have fans, you know, the convention center downtown Indianapolis, they could put a ton of floors in there and put some temporary barriers or walls or curtains between and get a number of courts in there. And then the teams simply walk from their hotel room through the different paths over the streets into the convention center facility. So that would be ideal, not really for fans, but if it just was going to be a televised tournament. Now you start looking at fans and you think you've got Butler and you've got IUPUI and you've got the convention center. There are other facilities as well, Bankers Life. I doubt that they will use the big deal, the football stadium, because it's probably they don't want to give an advantage to someone who gets to play an earlier round game in there that might ultimately play the national championship game in that facility. Lucas Oil, I lost the name for a moment. But so it's going to be interesting. But there clearly are the facilities, the college facilities needed to pull it off with or without fans. And again, if you're looking for places that don't have fans, you know, there I think there's plenty of places in Indianapolis and convention halls and things like that you can set up basketball courts, and they could be very much made for television easily. But if you're going to have fans, they're probably going to have to be played at existing gymnasiums where the courts are already there and where things can be modified a bit for the tournament. So this will be a huge storyline. We likely are going to be the center of attention during March Madness from the very beginning until the very end, which I think is the way it should be. Our state is kind of built for something like this, and I look forward to talking more about this later in the program. I'm sure as we get into the season, this tournament coming to Indianapolis, as different plans are announced and we hear different things, it's going to kind of be a fun sidebar all year long to know that no matter what happens with our local teams, we get to host the tournament here in our state. Again, I think it's just something that makes you proud as a basketball fan, as a resident of Indiana, to know our state. This is kind of right where they turn to for things like this. And also in Indianapolis and our state, great at hosting events. They've got a tremendous reputation, it seems, in the sports world for hosting some of the biggest events that that our sports world has to offer. And so no difference with this, an opportunity for something big for our state and for Indianapolis to really be the center point, which is a great deal. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, more on the NCAA tournament coming to Indianapolis. We also have the unofficial, we call it the official unofficial, Big Ten preseason media poll. It was put out this morning by Brendan Quinn of The Athletic and Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch. Brendan covers Michigan and Michigan State. Adam obviously covers Ohio State. They poll some writers from all the different Big Ten markets and come up with this official, unofficial preseason poll since the conference does not do one. A lot of conferences do a media poll, but we'll tell you where Indiana was at. A couple other college basketball notes and more schools moving to e-learning, but still not yet affecting anything locally as far as high school sports and the seasons moving forward. We know that fans are going to be different, it looks like, in many places, but so far seasons are still moving forward, and so we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Greg loves this idea, as you would think he should, of the NCAA tournament, all of it coming to Indianapolis, and so we'll spend a lot of our segment talking about that as well. We'll also touch on IU football with Greg when he joins us. And then later in the show today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk IU Ohio State in football this weekend and catch up on everything that we need to know going on with the Hoosiers right now. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. Send a question, a comment to the show. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also send an email to the show. It's HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines. First off, the unofficial Big Ten preseason media poll. It came out a little earlier today. And again, this is the Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch. Indiana is eighth in the media poll, which might be a little surprising. I'll tell you the full listing according to these Big Ten writers. Illinois came in first, and by a little sizable margin, in fact. They also got 16 first-place votes. Iowa was behind Illinois, number two. I don't think there's any surprise there. Iowa got 6 first-place votes. So that tells you that kind of overwhelmingly, Illinois was thought to be the favorite by this group of writers. Wisconsin, no surprise. Number three, they got 6 first-place votes as well. Michigan State is 4th. Rutgers is 5th. Michigan is 6th. Ohio State is 7th. Indiana is 8th. Purdue behind Indiana at 9th. Maryland 10th. Minnesota 11th. Penn State 12th. Nebraska at number 13. And Northwestern is number 14. Now, here's my take on it. Obviously, I think Indiana could be anywhere from 4 to 8. From 5 to 8, I think, in the preseason predicted order of finish. I wouldn't flinch if I saw Indiana as high as 4. I don't flinch if I see Indiana as low as 8. I think that the conference from 8-9 up is going to be really good. Richard Pitino at Minnesota, his team is 11th in this poll. And I mention that because, don't forget, a week or so ago, he said 12 or 13 teams could make it into the Big Ten tournament. And I know he's probably saying that partially because his team is kind of in that range of will they make it or not, depending on how many teams they take from the conference. And I know we got to play the games first, but I agree with him. I think this could be a record-setting year for the Big Ten Conference because conference games, non-conference games are going to be tough as well. You don't have a lot of these cupcake games this season. Who knows what happens with non-conference when it's ultimately said and done. And so I think even a loss in the Big Ten, it's going to be big, big resume pieces for these teams. They're going to be judged greatly because of how good the competition night in and night out is going to be. There are going to be very few off nights in the Big Ten Conference this season, and obviously that is not surprising. Most years, I think we know the conference is a tough one in and out, but you've always got a couple bottom feeders. You've always got 3, 4, 5 teams where they're considerable favorites when you play those teams, and that's not necessarily the case this season as well. If you want to look at how each writer who voted and how they voted, you can check out InsideTheHall.com. They've got a full rundown of how this poll went and who voted for who as well. One other college basketball note, Greg Marshall has resigned from Wichita State. Their assistant coach is going to lead the team this season. We've talked about this controversy some on the program, but kind of a long investigation into Greg Marshall and some of his past doings with players. And it's been rumored now for the last week or so that he would not make it through this. He would not make it through this look into some of his past actions and maybe somewhat abusive to players. And so he is out the door. He has resigned as Wichita State coach. Interesting to see that happen, of course, very close to the season as well. And I saw the coach at UT, I think it was Tennessee Martin, UT Martin, passed away over the weekend. I haven't followed up or seen any details, but Coach Marshall goes out because he resigned for some negative things in the program, and obviously an opening at UT Marshall or UT Martin because of an unexpected passing. Just terrible to see some of the news that we've seen this week in college basketball. Final note in our headlines today, New Albany, Floyd County, the latest school system to announce that they are sending classes all virtual for the remainder of the semester. They are going to go virtual starting Friday of this week. They also announced that middle school sports and all usage of gymnasiums is closed, except for high school sports for the winter. So basketball survives for now at New Albany, Floyd County, and I think that we expect it will. We'll give it a chance to go across to all of our school systems here locally and in the state, but who knows? As some counties move to red, will the health department step in and work with the schools to tighten things down as far as sports continuing at the high school level? Let's hope not. We know fans are going to look different this year. We've talked that Clark County has limited things as it stands to two people per athlete, two parents per athlete to come into the gymnasiums. Floyd County, you've got to believe with going virtual in school that could there be something else coming about the number of tickets and fans there? It's already been limited. I think Floyd Central's 750 for games. New Albany maybe around 1150 or 1200 for games, just kind of rough numbers there. But will those come down to just the two per parent like we've seen at other school systems as we get the season started next week? We'll be paying, I know, close attention to that. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Coming up tonight, don't forget, Night of Champions with Providence Boys Soccer. We'll talk with Coach Stingle and a lot of the key Providence soccer players who won a state championship in Class 1A soccer a few weeks ago. Our special Night of Champions show tonight brought to you by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling since 1953. That's at 6 p.m. tonight on the Big X. I know we'll have a lot of Providence, a lot of soccer fans tuning in as we honor that Providence soccer team tonight. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. And, Greg, your column, I think it was some earlier today, I read it just before the show, right on the mark, moving March Madness, best for Indy and for basketball as well. I know it's a crazy season forthcoming and a crazy time to play sports, but if we're going to get the NCAA tournament in and it's going to be played in a somewhat controlled environment, I can't think of a better basketball capital in the world to play it than right in Indianapolis in our Hoosier State.
No, and I realize I'm preaching to the choir in our state, so no one's going to tell me, yeah, but what about Orlando or whatever? But this isn't just me being a homer, although I do root for Indianapolis very much. As a city, you know, and our state. But before I got here, I was in Cincinnati, and before Cincinnati for CBS, I was in North Carolina for Charlotte Observer, and before that, I was in Miami for the Miami Herald. And every step of the way, I would come to Indianapolis for various events and was always struck at just how perfect the place is for big events. And just, I mean, perfect. And this isn't just me talking. I mean, almost anybody will tell you that nobody does a big event like we do because our downtown is just so uniquely shaped. But as it relates to college basketball, something as big as the tournament with 13 sites, and they need 13 sites to pull this thing off, not all at the same time, but still they need 8 at the same time. To pull that off, you need a big city with a lot of gyms. But then to make it special, you need a city that's small enough and cares enough about basketball to actually spoil everybody in town and love them, really. And there is no, like, New York is big, and like there's big cities, but nobody has the combination of size and also smallness that we have here. So yeah, it's perfect.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I know it's fun to think ahead, and of course I guess whether there's going to be fans or not still to be decided, it could also factor in as to where this thing's played. But You know the facilities. You're in downtown Indianapolis a lot. There's hotels, many of them that connect to the convention center. There also are a lot of college sites and existing facilities that are set up with the right length floor for college hoops. Where do you think this thing could ultimately be played at? Could it be something as simple as players walking from their hotel room across the tunnel above the street to the convention center where there are multiple courts set up, or do you think this thing will be spread out? I know we don't know yet, but it's fun to think about.
It is, and it'll be a combination. It'll be a little bit of both. When the Indiana Sports Corp, it's called, tried to, you know, submit plans and just really emailed them to every AD and conference commissioner in the country saying, if you want to play college basketball in a bubble this year, whether it's 2 games, 20 games, whatever, we've got, you know, you can come to Indy. And their bubble here included the convention center having 6 courts total, maybe 8 courts total, 2 for competition and maybe 6 for practice. So there are some courts at the convention center, and there are actually, and this is just one of those weird facts that I've learned, no city in America has more hotels connected by Skywalk. So as far as the bubble experience, and we have almost 5,000 rooms, has more rooms connected by Skywalk to a convention center than Indy does. We have, again, like 5,000 rooms. So a lot of players wouldn't even have to go outside, but that's just 2 courts. And I don't think Lucas Oil Stadium will get used in the early rounds. No one's told me that. I just don't think it seems fair. It doesn't seem
right.
Fair. That
advantage for if you played your earlier round
right.
There. Yeah.
Someone's going to go to the Final Four, and if that team was in that building, especially if it's going to be empty, because the emptier it is, the weirder it is,
right?
And the bigger it is, obviously. So if you get a shot, if you get a look at that thing early and you win a couple games there, you've got some confidence going to the Final Four that the other 3 teams won't have, and that's just not right. So I don't think they'll play there. But we've got IUPUI, Marion College, Marion University, University of Indianapolis, they call it UIND. We've got IUPUI plays at the Farmers Coliseum. So anyway, we've got a ton of gyms. Plus, I was on the conference call yesterday. It was about 10 of us with Dan Gavitt, the senior vice president of the NCAA, and also Mitch Barnard of Kentucky. Gavitt was telling us that he can see this thing leaving the city limits, you know, if you need more facilities. And I asked him, could you play it at Butler? Would you play it at IU? Would you play it at Purdue? And he said, normally we wouldn't play games at those venues, but this isn't normal, and we're going to do what we got to do. And there's also a ton of high school arenas here, and granted, they're not 94 feet, so I don't think they'll use Southport Coliseum or those other things. But the really large gyms in our state, and especially within driving distance of here, I think comes into play for no other reason than a lot of teams will probably like to shoot. Now, they might not want to be on an 84-foot court, but they might like to shoot in a huge arena that's empty, because you can get more out of that, more practice out of that, you know, preparing for playing in other big arenas that are going to be empty, than you can get in a little bandbox of a gym.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And I mentioned the high school thing, and I want to go back to it because we talk a lot of high school and we love high school basketball. But it's been pretty cool. There's been a push on social media. I'm sure you've seen it because you mentioned high school gyms. You know, these great pictures of crowds at Seymour and Richmond and Southport and all these wonderful gyms, Lafayette, Jeff, across our state. I'm just naming a few with great attendance. And I think it's showcased to a lot of people that may not know what you and I know, and many listeners of this program know, that, oh my gosh, Indiana has unbelievable basketball facilities. And yes, they're 84 feet. They're not 94 feet, but one small benefit of this announcement yesterday by the NCAA, at least this plan to have it in Indianapolis, it's not official yet, but looks like it's headed that way, has been, I think, our high school facilities have been showcased a little bit, and people on the outside are maybe getting a little better read at exactly just what Indiana basketball is.
Yeah, and someone like me, I covered college basketball for 15, 20 years, and been a sports fan and a sports writer my whole life, just about. And even with all that, and I played basketball through ninth grade, so even with all of that, I didn't know this fact until I started working for the Indy Star, which is the 6 biggest high school gyms in America, the 6 biggest are here in Indiana, and 11 of the 12 biggest. There's one in Dallas, for some reason, that seats 7,500 or so. But other than that one, 11 of the 12 biggest gyms in America are right here in our state, and that's only as big as the list goes. It could be 19 of 20, for all I know. I just know that of the top 12, 11 of them are here. It's really remarkable that many people want to come watch games all over the place. It's not like, there's one city where it really matters. You know, no. There's one state where it really, really matters, and that's here.
Talking Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple other things about March Madness coming to Indiana. You know, during the pandemic, we've gotten off course of sports from time to time, just because this pandemic has really affected sports and it's affected so many things. One of the great things, and I feel the same way about Louisville because of our proximity here in southern Indiana as I do about Indianapolis, and the state as a whole, obviously. And I know that every city has been affected, all businesses, all tourism has been affected by this pandemic in a very big way across the world, not just here locally. But one of my first reactions after I got giddy that the Hoosier State could likely host this entire tournament, which just seems fitting, that if we're going to get in this situation with the pandemic and we're going to try to play through it, that Indiana's kind of, I think you said this, built for something like this. But the other reaction I had is, oh, for the economy, for these hotels, for these restaurants, for everything, even if there are no fans, the players and coaches and teams that will travel to town for this. I mean, it's a massive number. And it doesn't at all make up for the conventions and conferences and other sporting events that have been missed, but at least it's something big to help. And I think as much as I'm excited about the basketball being here in our state, which is, it just fits, I'm excited that there's an opportunity for our city, our state, this area to be showcased and maybe make some money that they've missed out on.
Yeah, yeah, it's a shame, clearly, and I know you're thinking the same thing. It's a shame that, you know, all 50 states can't, for some reason, you know, have their own tournament. That means this would help just everybody. Well, it's not possible. It's going to help somebody. And who is that somebody? And whoever the 49 states that don't get this, it's too bad. I mean, this whole thing sucks, and we know it sucks. But, yes, we do live here, and we can be happy that, holy cow, this is really going to help here. We've got everybody has such hotel emptiness. You know, I don't know what the percentages are, but I guarantee you the percentages of hotel rooms being used are, I mean, percentage-wise, at an all-time low. And Indianapolis was built for conventions, really, for a lot of things. We've got tons of hotel rooms. I mentioned we had 4,700, almost 5,000 rooms connected to the convention center alone, and that's certainly not all of our hotels. So yeah, this is, we're going to fill up these hotels. I mean, 68 teams times, you know, your traveling team, your roster, let's say you probably travel with 25-30, and that's what, 230 times 68 is what, 2,000. I mean, that's a lot of rooms, so we're going to fill up a lot of stuff. You know, there's gonna be some fans here too. That's gonna be really interesting, and it's really interesting right now, frankly. And we don't need to get into politics, and I don't even know why the pandemic is political, but we don't need to get into it too much. But it's interesting to me that, you know, everything was shut down when it was shut down. And we couldn't, you know, we can't go to games. We can't, you know, it's not safe to go here and go there. But even as the virus is raging, and I mean, back like 3 months ago, we would have on a daily basis 500 positive tests around the state. And that was nobody like that. You know, 500, you know, 8 or 10 people would die daily. Now it's 5,000. And 50 people are dying daily. And now we're letting fans attend games at 25% capacity. I don't really understand what's happening here. But so there's a long way to go to March. But the thing, what we know about the virus, sadly, is that until we get the vaccine in the cold weather with everybody indoors, it appears to be getting worse. So I don't like the odds of there being fans in attendance. We'll see. But if I had to bet either way, I'd guess there'll be nobody watching. But, you know, maybe not even me. I'll be watching on TV myself.
Made for TV. It could be. We saw the bubble in Orlando set up very nicely for that. And if it has to be that way, let's just get an NCAA tournament in this spring and when we get through some of these colder months. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I want to hit you with a couple quick other things as we move on before we let you go. You wrote about Rondale Moore. Of course, he's at Purdue. He was going to bypass the season because of COVID-19 and prepare for the NFL draft. And then when the Big Ten ended up playing a basic fall season, he announced he was going to come back to Purdue, at least back to the program. He had stayed enrolled in school. He's been on the roster because of his connection to our area. I can't say that I follow Purdue football a lot, but I do check to see if Rondale's going to play. I like the young man. He's very talented. He's got a bright future ahead of him. But each and every week so far of the season, he's been inactive, been not playing. And you wrote about that in one of your stories, your columns this week.
Yeah, it's becoming, especially with Purdue losing a game, they're not undefeated anymore. It's becoming the dominant storyline, really, for Purdue football is, will Rondale play? And if not, why not? And what's going on? Because they're not telling us. And as I wrote, they don't they don't owe us. You know, I'm not angry about it. They don't owe us anything. You know, what you're owed and what you want are always two different things. But it'd be nice to know, and I know Purdue fans would like to know because it's really strange. It appears, and again, we don't know, so we have to say how it appears. But based on everything we know, including the timing of they don't announce that he's not playing until 2 hours before kickoff, and the things Jeff Brohm says about Rondell missing games and other players missing games, and it's different. What it looks like is that they're waiting for Rondell to say, I'm going to play. It's not that they're telling Rondell, hey, you're not healthy enough. We don't even know if he's injured, but they're just waiting for Rondell to say, I'm going to play today. And he hasn't said it yet. And it's the strangest thing. It's really, really strange. I don't know what else to say. It's crazy. I mean, he's not just a player. He's the best player they've had in years. And now David Bell may be overtaking him. David Bell's pretty special too, but I mean, he's the best player they've had since Drew Brees, just about, and he's just not playing. And we're all going about our life like it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It's very strange.
No question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, before we let you go, I want to get your opinion on IU football. Of course, lots of excitement as they head into this game against Ohio State on Saturday. Indiana 4-0, and it's set all kind of records in history so far as what they've been able to accomplish in this season. Can they win? Can they keep it really close? I know that I think I saw 20-21 point favorite Ohio State is at this point. But what are your thoughts on the game and just how good is this Indiana team? Because I think we're beginning to find out that the division that they are in is bigger the wins as they have been for this team. I don't want to take anything away from their successes, but I don't think Penn State's as good as what we thought. They're 0-4. Michigan, obviously, really struggling. I think the future for Coach Harbaugh is, you know, up in the air maybe. And then Michigan State last week, we saw that result. Your thought on IU football?
Well, as far as the Big Ten goes, I think there are three really good teams in the Big Ten: Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Indiana. Those are the three really big ones, really good ones. And yes, every week that passes, we realize, well, the Penn State win doesn't look as good as it did on game day. The Michigan win doesn't look as good. I mean, they don't look as good. They're not as good. But you're asking, can they beat Ohio State? They've, for whatever reason, they played Ohio State fairly close several times in the last 3 or 4 years. And they've never had a team like this. And Ohio State's really good. And they got a Heisman-type quarterback playing for them in the typical defense. They got all that. Ohio State's really good. But IU, if the game goes a certain way, if they don't lose too many players to attrition, if their frontline players can play most of the game, they've got the frontline players to compete with them. Where Ohio State wears you down, as the game goes on and guys get tired or maybe banged up, they're bringing in a 4 or 5-star guy off the bench. IU's bringing in a 3-star, maybe even a 2, but I'm not sure Tom Allen even has any more 2s. He's upgraded the recruiting a lot. So can they win? Yeah, can they compete? For sure. You know, I don't want to come – like if a mean little kindergartner was walking up to a baby with candy, it's not like a breaking news to say, that kindergartner, I bet he takes that candy from the baby, and I'm going to explain exactly how he's going to do it. No, it's obvious. You should. But IU's no baby anymore, but – Ohio State should win the game. They should. But, you know, if Penix is having a nice day, and, I mean, IU's legit. You know, you're one of 10 or 15 teams in the country that can beat anybody anytime if the right things happen. IU's one of them.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thanks for the chat. I have to say, the news about Indianapolis hosting this thing has kind of been one of the more fun things to think about, talk about in recent months. And let's hope that this college hoop season, which is set to begin in about a week, actually gets underway and actually happens, and we can get to the NCAA tournament in a somewhat controlled environment in Indianapolis. I know once we get to that point, it can be a big success for our region. So fun to talk about. Thanks for the chat today. Always appreciate you.
Yeah, how crazy is it that – I know we got to go, but how crazy is it that IU's number 9 or 10 in the country? And the last question is, oh, by the way, what about IU football? Everything else, including Rondell Moore, is just so damn big or weird or both. So, yeah, it's a thrill to think about what could happen here in the next 4 or 5 months. Let's hope we get there. Thanks for having me on.
For sure. Greg Doyle with us on Tuesday. So appreciative of Greg coming on the program each week. We'll head to a commercial break, and I do want to pass this along. I just saw from the Floyd County Health Department, they've announced that they are restricting bars and restaurants that must close by 10 p.m. Actually, bar hours must close by 10 p.m. each evening now, as they try to tighten things down a little bit with cases going up locally and, of course, cases going up across the state. That is for restaurant and bar restrictions announced just earlier this morning by the Floyd County Health Department and Dr. Harris, the health officer there. So interesting to follow as numbers continue to go up. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll talk more IU basketball, more IU football, all coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us here on Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball and IU football. And Mike, I want to start with basketball. Obviously, we've talked lots about the NCAA tournament coming to Indianapolis, and we think this is an Indiana team that can get there. The Big Ten Conference is very strong, and I think you could make the case already in this preseason that the Big Ten could be maybe on pace to set a record for the number of teams from the conference that gets in the NCAA tournament. But looking at Indiana specifically, we saw a official, unofficial group of writers put a preseason poll out of the Big Ten Conference, and Indiana was eighth. And I said earlier that I wasn't terribly surprised. I think I could see Indiana anywhere from fifth to eighth in a Big Ten preseason ranking. But your thoughts, I know we've talked about the conference, we've talked about Indiana and where maybe they are in the conference right now, but what are your thoughts on Indiana eighth according to some of the writers out there?
Well, seems far down, but, you know, sometimes when you cover one team, you hear all the positive news and you think, well, that team's better than maybe – an outside observer thinks they are, just looking at the names on paper and so forth. But, you know, I think they can be a better team than last year. And last year they were headed to the tournament. And, you know, they have a real good big go-to guy, an all-Big Ten player, which is a big advantage. And they have a little bit better situation at point guard than they've had in a while. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think seventh or eighth is the consensus right now across the country on where Indiana might fit. But, you know, these are just guesses.
Am I out of line at all in thinking that the Big Ten could send 12, 13 teams, even set a record on the number of teams that come out of the conference to the tournament this year? It just seems that everyone from local beat writers of different schools within the conference to even the national college basketball guys seem to really think this is a huge year for the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as 12 or 13, but I could see 10 teams. I mean, I mean, Nebraska, Northwestern, may not be there, but actually the rest of the league has got, you know, enough going for it that, you know, maybe not Penn State. So maybe I'm saying 10 or 11 instead of 12 or 13. That's still a lot of teams.
Yeah, no question. No question. Mike Pegram is with us. We're going to get into some football here in just a minute, but I want to talk a little recruiting. I said this yesterday on my show to open up the week on Monday. Mason Miller cut his list over the weekend. He's down to two schools, Indiana and Creighton. And I think the common thinking would be, okay, you know, Indiana's the blue blood there. They got the history. Creighton has had some good moments, but really not a big comparison there between the two programs and the two opportunities that he's going to consider from. But the people I talk to, and probably some of the same that you do as well, tell me that Creighton really is a factor in this deal for Mason Miller, that ultimately that could be, whenever he makes his decision, that could be where he goes. Are you hearing the same? And what's the connection to Creighton for Mason Miller that has them in the competition for Indiana for his services?
No, I think there's a good relationship there, and Creighton's done pretty well. I mean, they're ranked, I don't know what they exactly are in the preseason polls, but this is a pretty good program now with a lot of support in Omaha. They really get out for their basketball team there. It's a little bit like Dayton program in the A-10 and just really outstanding basketball. And there's also a good, I think that a good feeling from his camp about how they play basketball at Creighton and being a good fit for his skill set. And, I would call them the slight favorite, at least the slight favorite to land him, which would be kind of a tough blow for Indiana given the Trey Kaufman decision of a couple weeks ago. But it is what it is, but we'll see. I mean, Indiana's going to have a Zoom call with him tomorrow, and he may push his decision till next week, which is a sign that, he's not definitely going to go for Creighton. But he did visit there and unofficially and on his own dime and his own kind of tour, which was a good sign for Creighton. And, it is what it is. This 21 class has not really fallen very well for Indiana other than that Logan Duncombe early call.
Yep, absolutely. Mike Pegram is our guest. I just want to think hypothetically, because we do talk a lot of recruiting, and whenever we talk about it, there seems to be a lot of interest from fans and listeners. If Mason Miller does go to Creighton and Indiana misses out on him, Aminu Muhammad is still in play. Seems like Indiana's in a solid position with him. His decision could be forthcoming fairly soon, it sounds like, according to some reports from you guys and others. Who with Muhammad are on the real radar if even if Muhammad doesn't go to Indiana? Where are the names? Who's the next group? Because we've spent so much time with Kaufman, Miller, and Muhammad. If Indiana were to go 0-3 on those guys, who's the next wave of players? Is there a next wave? I've got to believe there is.
Yeah, and the next wave actually might be foreign guys. Mike Roberts has some good connections overseas, and they are looking at some guys. I think the names are escaping me because they're new to the scene and from overseas, but. They are looking at some guys who with some size overseas. And one of those players actually just committed to Dayton, but there's another guy that they're looking at. And I think that's the logical step. But you have to remember this is an unusual year where players are not using up eligibility. And there's going to be kind of a Wild West transfer market where anybody can transfer without penalty, not just the grad transfers. And that'll allow, if you don't use your scholarships on incoming recruits, you have more to offer potential transfers, and there will be some really quality guys available because of the lessening of the penalty for transferring. And so that, there's a silver lining to this, but of course Indiana has to land those transfers in the spring. But it is not the worst year to miss out on guys because of what's to come.
Mike Pegram with Peaks.com. And I think Mustafa Amzil, another player that I had mentioned earlier this week, he was playing or set to play high school basketball in Pennsylvania. And I may have even said I thought there was a connection, could be a Pennsylvania connection there because of Archie Miller. But he must be who you're talking about. I think he's from Finland originally and committed to Dayton this week. Of course, he's 2021 as well. So another name that kind of entered the fold and got an offer just within the last week is already off the board as well there.
Right. yeah, that was one of the guys I was thinking of that kind of popped up. But there's another guy. I think he's Czech, from Czech Republic, Christian Kokab, 6'11", from Prague in Prague. So excuse me, Czech Republic. You have me searching my computer here for names, foreign names, Matt. So. Give me a second, I can find them for you here. But off memory, sometimes the new guys with names that are tough to remember because they haven't been on. These are guys that don't play AU, and you get used to seeing them and talking about them. But that's where Indiana's options might be is taking that step overseas, and it's worked out for a lot of programs that you've seen.
Yeah, no question. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. I do want to catch a little football as we close out the show today. I tell you, I can't help but just really like Tom Allen, and I think that most of the media, and I think fans obviously, and players for sure feel that way. I loved yesterday, and I just saw bits and pieces of it, but he was asking his presser yesterday in preparation for this weekend about Ohio State and about the point spread that exists in the gambling line between the two schools, with Ohio State, I think, a 21-point or 20-point favorite at this time. But he had some very funny comments about, yes, it would be addressed, and you know, he didn't care about the stinking line, just different things. He's a joy to listen to. I know that, whether it's after a big win, whether it's a middle-of-the-week press conference, he's just a lot of fun to listen to. You can tell his enthusiasm that I know the players see up close and personal all the time. It exists around the clock 24/7.
Yeah, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And you know, you're a number nine team in the country, and you're a three-touchdown underdog. You know, that doesn't happen very often. So I can understand why they, you know, there's a little bit of reaction from the IU side. It's not to say that they're, you know, saying they're going to go up and, you know, win and all that. They're just saying that's a little bit of a insult. At this, you know, they got to go prove it, though. That's, you know, something that, you know, they've played Ohio State competitive in the past, but not so much last year, I don't believe. So they have a lot to prove.
And also a tough day for Coach Allen yesterday. He announced his son Thomas, a linebacker, does have a season-ending hip injury that he had during that game. Of course, we saw a touching moment between father and son there, but he is out for the season. That's a loss for Indiana as well.
Yeah, it was emotional also because he had fought back from shoulder and other issues to get back on the field and was actually starting to do really well after kind of shaking out the rust in the first couple games. And then he goes down with a completely different injury that's going to take a long rehab. So it was a very tough emotional situation for the coach.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, as we go out today. Thoughts on the Ohio State game? Can this be a close one? Can IU win? What's the Peegs prediction?
Well, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Justin Fields throws against the Hoosier defensive backs that we've been writing all these stories about how good they are, and they actually lead the country in interceptions, at least on a per-game basis. You know, I think that there's an opportunity for Indiana to throw the ball against Ohio State. I don't think the Ohio State defensive backs are as good as they normally are, and their rush, you know, isn't quite as good as it normally is. So,
absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, thank you for the chat. Always good to catch up. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt. Talk to you soon.
That'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, Night of Champions. Honoring Providence boys soccer, I'll catch you tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.